14th, 1970, two students were killed at Jackson State College in Jackson, Mississippi.
About 11:45 on May 14th. While they were riding up and down, you know, talking on loudspeakers, probably no students would have been out of the dorms, except they kept riding up and down and making this racket, which would, you know, drawing attention to themselves, which caused the students, out of curiosity's sake, if for no other reason, to come out of the dorms. So that finally, by the time they had routed enough students out by keeping up the noise and marching up and down the streets and whatnot, they got them out there as if they were going to talk to them. And like one cop faced the students and said something like, "Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention?" And the students turned around to face the cops, and as soon as they turned around, they opened fire.
Used to work right down the street from Jackson State for a month in January of 69. And one thing that impressed me very strongly about the state of affairs in Jackson, Mississippi, is that there is virtually no flow of people into it. That is to say, people will come from Jackson to the north, or they will come from Jackson elsewhere, but people are not going to that part of Mississippi, at least. It's definitely an outflow. Consequently, it's very, very depressed area, natural, you know, it's just, it's a very, very low, very cheap place to live. It's very, very depressing.
First, I would like to tell you that the National Guards did not do the shooting.
Right.
That the state troopers did the shooting. And it's customary, the National Guard usually use tear gas for a first warning. But the state troopers just started shooting. The thing is that they wasn't certain when they heard a sniper shot or a firecracker, and it was only one shot that they heard. And when I went into the dormitory, all the glasses were out on the west wing, and they shot all up in the center of the campus because it's made in the U. And there was blood all on the first floor. And the bullets they used were so big that they penetrated through the brick wall and through the steel inside the dormitory, and then went through the door, so evidently they were shooting to kill. And so on all five floors, there were bullets. You know, every last floor, there were bullets went through the building, and 11 students were wounded. And the two guys that were killed, I heard that the guy was just walking his girls to the dormitory, and on his way back, like, it wasn't any warning that they was going to shoot, and he was just one of the unlucky ones that they just opened fire, and he was just shot. And I know that Miss Jackson State, that was next this year, was wounded. And I just was talking to the kids, and this one girl was in the shower, and, like, you know, she was shot too. And so, therefore, she couldn't have been participating in it. There's a lot of tension on campus now. I don't know what's going to happen now. But you can feel the tension that's up there. And a lot of kids are leaving, going home. But then there's a whole lot that will be staying up there.
Okay, I've got a couple questions. What led to the trouble that started all this?
The tension had been building up all through the year. But when finally, I guess because they're continually sending black guys over to Vietnam, and Nixon sending his troops into Cambodia. And because of the tension that's built up on campus between the black and white here, the whites are just giving black people just enough to pacify them, just to keep them under control. But I feel like it had to come to a head, and it just came to a head Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And then it continued Thursday night.
Well, was there any trouble, any rioting or anything of that nature previous to the shootings? I mean, how soon did the police arrive after the actual trouble started?
I heard that they had started to throw rocks again last night, and at the cars passing through the street, because there is a main street that runs through the campus, which shouldn't be there in the first place, because there's no other state college with the main street running right through the center, separating the dormitory from the school buildings and cafeteria, you see? So, they set a truck on fire, and then that's when the National Guard called in. But the thing that's so ridiculous about it is the National Guard, the 650 National Guard were calling, they didn't do it. They weren't the ones that fire. It was the state troopers and the city police that just got down on their knees with artillery guns and they shot up in the dormitory.
It really struck me for one thing because I was just in Jackson a week ago at a women's conference, and during the time we were there in a camp near Jackson, everyone kept saying not to leave because it, you know, never could tell what people would do around there. And I remember feeling scared and also at that time feeling confronted with my own racism, my own fear of being in the midst of a lot of black people who might hate me or, you know, who were angry at women getting together in the South. And the same thing struck me when I heard about the deaths. I felt my immediate reaction was almost distant and scary, and I recalled that same awareness of my own distance from black people being murdered and my own shame at that. And then the longer I thought about the horror of it, all the more it sunk in.
Frustration, sorrow, you know, like I feel it, you know, like physically I can't help but I try to make myself, I can't say forget about it because I can't forget about it. I try to condition myself, you know, try to make myself callous so that it doesn't like affect me as much as like it used to affect me. The things like this used to affect me because I do feel very powerless because I realize that there isn't really anything I can do to bring them back to life or bring all the other people who ever died on a humbug like that back to life. Like it's more of an indication to me of like several greater problems, such as this whole country, in the way it is, how it oppresses people, and it indicates to me something even more that to me is a lot sadder, and that's the fact that people have become so apathetic. It's an indication also of more things to come and even more types of overt oppression.
Definitely no sniper fire, and the thing about brick and bottle throwing was completely out of the question from the dormitory that they said it came from because it has no windows that open toward the street. And as I said, the cops were acting as if they were addressing the students who were milling around trying to find out what was going on, like the students were just as much in the dark about what was supposed to be going on as anyone else. Apparently, the cops were the only people who knew what was supposed to be going on. My feelings is that they shot because they wanted to check out the new riot control equipment, and they wanted to make sure that the blacks in the state of Mississippi kept themselves in line, and that they did not help themselves up over the Panther situation or the Cambodian situation or the Kent State situation, that they were still in Mississippi and therefore under control of the power structure. And I mean, it was almost to the point where it seemed as if they were getting their cookies off of this sort of thing, so they fired, you know, and they reported on the radio that they fired for 7 seconds when actually one of the largest white newspaper reported on here, that is a radio and TV announcer, has a tape that shows that it lasted 35 seconds and there's over 500 bullet holes in one side of the girls' dormitory. And the stuff that they were using was not buckshot. They didn't use any tear gas at all, no type of warning devices, but they fired slugs, high velocity slugs that you would use to shoot elephants or deer or something. You know, and high velocity rifles, but 30-06s and 30-30s and those sorts of things that actually holes and through the concrete and through steel and still penetrated into the dorm. Like one girl who got injured was like laying in her bed in her room and the glass just come flying through. And cut her forehead. And large puddles of blood lying down in the doorway of the girl's dorm. And they just wrecked one whole section. It's like a three-section building. And one whole section is just like completely wrecked. Everyone has packed whatever bags they could pack in that amount of time and left the campus. The president has closed it down for the remainder of the quarter. The only activity they have left that they're to carry out through this quarter is the graduation exercises. One other thing is that I made the statement that the majority of the students there are definitely apolitical. It's even more so for the instructors there. They're definitely middle-class, law-abiding sorts of people, even though the majority of them are black. And they came out with a press release that sounded very radical for them because they were so appalled over the whole incident. The president of the college made the statement that he is personally going to do everything in his power to see that this what seems to be just out-and-out murder, that it's punished and so forth. And then the their chapter of the American Association of College Professors came out with a press release that that this honestly seemed to be premeditated, that, you know, it was just an atrocity that was perpetrated against the students because of the will of, you know, certain people who didn't seem to give a damn, more or less. It wasn't in those words, but basically that was the point of it, and that they would do everything within their power to see that just